You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Moving Indiana University basketball for the NBA draft, this is a foregone conclusion. You knew that Ware was going to the NBA because everybody wants to play in the NBA, and he's going to have an opportunity given where he sits on mock drafts and in the eyes of NBA scouts that you talk to. He is a late first-round guy at worst. The NBA draft combine coming up in about 6 weeks. We'll see how Ware does. He projects as a first-round guy. He's 7 feet tall. He can protect the rim. He can hit threes. He is good at a lot of stuff, and he's going to get better at things. He's shown himself to be an adequate learner. And that's one of the things you got to be if you're going to make that jump from college basketball to the NBA. So where's going to go? Where does that leave IU? We'll talk about it. The Colts, they made a signing today. Tavin Bryan's coming back. Man, mint the Lombardi Trophy, can we? I don't mean to be cynical about the return of so many Colts, but you would think that the Colts, they won a Super Bowl or something. And with the regularity, they bring guys back. They believe, truly, that they are Anthony Richardson away from being a Super Bowl contending team. They'd better be right, because if they're not, if they go 9-8 again, this is going to be trouble for everybody on West 56th Street, including the Irsays. This team is going to lose its luster. It's been a while since the Colts have been relevant in the NFL. You travel outside Indianapolis, you know what you find? Ain't nobody talking about the Colts. Nobody's really talking about the AFC South unless they're talking about the Houston Texans. Texans, not too bad. I think people are overestimating how much better they got. Tennessee, really an overestimation about how much better they got. I think they're going to finish last in the division again. The Jags, they might bounce back a little bit depending on the health of Trevor Lawrence. We'll talk about the Colts a little bit. We will talk about John Calipari. I'm telling you, I keep hearing from people. Oh, Kentucky would never pay the $33 million buyout to get rid of Calipari and hire somebody else. If they had that somebody else and it was kind of sexy and it made people at Kentucky feel sort of good about it, they could raise that $33 million in 15 minutes. They could get that kind of money raised to make that buyout, and they could do it this afternoon. There is a lot of money in the state of Kentucky. People think of Kentucky, and they think of, like, Harlan County, USA, that documentary from 1976. It's all miners and crusty, like, nutty people. And, you know, hey, it's like deliverance down there. No, it isn't. These people own thoroughbred horse ranches, for God's sake. There is a ton of money in Kentucky. Do not estimate the amount of money Kentuckians have and the amount of passion that they have for Kentucky basketball. Don't do it. All right. This is Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling for Tuesday, March 26, 2023. Four, brought to you by the great people at MyBookie. Look, you go to MyBookie, you're going to have a good time. That's my solemn vow to you. And the people at MyBookie, they and I, we have partnered with a promo code, Kent, because it makes it easy for me to remember. It's easy for you to remember. You use K-E-N-T as your promo code, and you unlock up to a $1,000 sign-up bonus. So you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at MyBookie. And they got a cool video casino on there, online casino. It's awesome. Do this. Subscribe to this channel. Like the video. That's the thumbs up icon. Hit the bell so you get an alert every time we go live, because you know what? We vary a little bit in the afternoon. And like Cole Lewis just did, make a donation and include a comment, a question, and we will take it and share it with the group. Cole Lewis says, why exactly are the Colts so conservative in free agency year after year? Because Chris Ballard is risk averse. And there is a lot of risk in signing free agents. First of all, you got to outbid the other 31 teams in order to land a free agent. Second of all, players are free agents for a reason. They are, just as in life, people are former employees for a reason. Sometimes it's a good reason, not of their own doing. Sometimes it's a very good reason of their own doing. Chris Ballard does not like to wade into those waters. He likes to draft players that he sees who fit a physical and behavioral mode, bring them in, have them become Indianapolis Colts, and then when they play well, reward them for doing that. And if you bring in expensive free agents, a lot of times you can't keep your own. So Ballard keeps his own, doesn't lose guys, and they believe that Anthony Richardson is the difference maker, and the other stuff that they need, they can get through the draft, including quarterback, especially quarterback. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about my mock drafts and what we can learn from them, but what we especially learn about Chris Ballard. Because Chris Ballard always, if you listen to what he does in the offseason and what he says in the offseason, he will tell you what he's going to do.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And he has in this case, and I'll share that with you. Coming up next, right? Let's talk about Khalil Ware. Go to the league. Of course he is, because he can play in the league, and he's going to be a good player in the league. He's like Miles Turner, and so he's kind of not the high motor guy, you know. Not he. He's not T.J. McConnell from an effort perspective, right? Nobody is saying that Khalil Ware needs to be T.J. McConnell, but he can shoot threes, he can protect the rim, and he is athletic at a level probably that Turner isn't or can't be. So Khalil Ware is going to be a guy who's covered in the draft at some level, probably mid to late first round, depending on how the NBA combine goes up in Chicago. What's that leave? You got Gabe Cupps. You got Trey Galloway. You got Anthony Leal. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Kent, how the hell are we going to score enough points to beat anybody? I'm with you 100%. You've got Malik Renu, Mackenzie Mbako right now, and you've got Ja'Kai Newton. We don't know Ja'Kai Newton well. We don't know whether he can play at the college level. We haven't seen him play yet. He is getting healthy, and when he's healthy next season, we're going to find out whether he can play. Those six guys are not going to win a lot of games for the Hoosiers. So Indiana is going to be very active in the late high school round of recruiting, because there are people like the wonderful Liam, who decommitted. There are going to be other guys who decommit. And Indiana, they've always gotten a guy like that, right? They got Malik Renu a couple of years ago. Last year they got Mackenzie Mbako. There are people who are going to decommit. Indiana's going to swoop in, grab one or two. Then they're going to go shopping in the transfer portal. And they're going to go get some guys who have filled it up elsewhere. And we're going to see how that goes, how Woodson can put these guys together in a way that leads to winning. Can he do that? His job depends on doing that. Look, you go to the tournament the first 2 years. I am not a subscriber to this, but I had a conversation today with an Indiana basketball expert, we'll say. He's like, look, what are you going to do? A guy goes to the tournament his first 2 years after Indiana, doesn't go to the tournament for like from 17 through 21. And all of a sudden, you think one bad year and a guy gets punted? It's going to be tough to fill that job. I do not subscribe to this, but I can see how some coaches would think, why do I want to go to Bloomington where I'm not going to get an opportunity to build my team? Mike Woodson didn't get an opportunity. I'm not going to get an opportunity. Okay, that's fine. But Mike Woodson is never going to have to work another day in his life because of the money he's getting at Indiana University and would get from Indiana University if there was a separation. So, you don't think that grant, $4.2 million, thank you, check please, that's not hard. Of course you're going to be able to get a guy. However, all right, some guys might, you know, blink given a three-year run, but Indiana, a fourth year, we kind of have a pretty good idea about momentum in a program, up and down and up and down. Rarely does it go down then up. We don't see that a lot. Indiana's got deep NIL pockets. Maybe they get lucky in the portal and put together a team in the Big Ten that can win 12 games. It can be done. We'll see if Indiana can do it. They need guards who can shoot the ball, and they need an offense that is going to somehow feature them and their ability to shoot the ball. We'll see if Mike Woodson can do that. I think Mike Woodson's just intractable. He believes that his mode of basketball can work in the Big Ten. It cannot. Look, from the three-point arc, Indiana, this just kills me, all right? I wrote this down. Indiana was outscored by 354 points from outside the arc. You know how much we all love Jack Golke, right? Jack Golke hit 137 threes this season for Oakland. Indiana as a team hit 166. Golke hit less than one fewer three-point field goal per game than the entire Indiana team. You got to be able to hit threes. Let's talk about the Colts. They have re-signed defensive tackle Tevin Bryan. My God, the you can feel the excitement. Hearts are palpitating in central Indiana with the return of Tevin Bryan. Tevin Bryan's not a bad dude. His grade, though, at Pro Football Focus, 51.3. That's 99th of the NFL's 130 tackles. He played 343 defensive snaps. He was of the 35 defensive tackles who played fewer than 400 sacks. He was 25th of those 35, so kind of backup rotational guys. He, like I said, 25th of 35. Ironically, inappropriate of nothing, and I feel bad even mentioning it, the last player with the worst grade in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, among the defensive tackles, an Indianapolis Colt named Eric Johnson. 5 points lower than that of the next to last defensive tackle in the league. Hey, they're not my numbers. They're not my evaluation. I'm sorry, Eric. I'm sorry, Tavin. What are you going to do? You are who you are. This is what the Colts are doing in bringing back everybody, running this back from top to bottom on the roster. You wonder just what the hell is going on. No turnover at all? You got the draft coming up. Mock drafts are really interesting to me. I go to the mock draft machine. I do it often. And what do we see? We see a team whose spot at 15 kind of lines up really, really well for its position of greatest need. And the Colts did nothing to resolve that position of need in free agency, which is cornerback. They need a cornerback. And so you've got guys who are supposed to be available, likely to be available at 15, including Quinyon Mitchell. Quinyon Mitchell of Toledo might be the best all-around cornerback in this draft. And if not for all the quarterbacks and not for all the offensive linemen, you know what? Maybe Quinyon Mitchell would be in the top 10 of this draft, and he might be in the top 10 of this draft, but that's not where he's going in the mock drafts. So at 15, I took Mitchell because I know that the Colts need a player at that position. Here's what I want. Here's my position of need grocery list. In the first round, cornerback, that's Quinyon. I'll call him Quinyon. We're on a first-name basis now that I selected him in a series of mock drafts that I participated in. Then, in the second round, I got to tell you, I want to take a wide receiver. But there are none on the board that I really dig. So, I go to safety. And at safety, I find myself a guy named Tyler Newbins out of Minnesota at 46. Then I take, here's what I want, right? I've gone over this a little bit. Quarterback, I want a wide receiver at 46. I want a safety in the third round, and I want a backup running back in the fourth round. But because there aren't any great, I've already taken a safety, and there aren't any great wide receivers for the third round, I take Blake Corum out of Michigan, running back. Similar, a little bit similar to Jonathan Taylor. Very productive when he was at Michigan, so I take that guy. Then I made a mistake at 117, and I took Aeneas Smith out of Texas A&M. He's the slot guy. We don't need one. We've already got Josh Downs. So that's my mistake. I already own it. If I were a general manager, I'd come out at the end of the fourth round, having drafted Aeneas Smith, I'd go to the podium and I'd say, got to tell you, this was a mistake. What in the world was I thinking? All right. Corner, not quarterback. Corner. CB, not QB. And Joe Flacco wasn't signed to an $8 million one-year deal. It was 4.5 with an opportunity to get to 7.5 if he plays a gob. And the Colts do not want him to play a gob. I'm not sure that Flacco himself wants to play a gob. At any rate, the Colts not even talking to Kansas City, and that's from the Colts and from the Chiefs, not talking about a trade for L'Jarius Smith. That kind of tells you that Ballard knows what he's doing. Not that he's going to be skilled acquiring a quarterback, but he knows how he's going to acquire one, and that's going to be via the draft. If you watch what he does in free agency and you listen to what he says in media availabilities like at the Combine, you are going to hear a guy tell you exactly what he's going to do. And he's going to take a corner in that first round at 15 or trade back. If both guys that they're looking at, if Arnold and Mitchell are gone at 15, I think they trade back. And they look at a guy, although he's the perfect Colt cornerback, CB, not QB, Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's slow. He's tall. He's long. He's got good ball skills. He's got some attitude. I wouldn't mind Kool-Aid McKinstry, knowing what we know about the Colts, that they would absolutely love to have a guy with a possession of his lack of long speed, as he put it in an interview. Then I got him taken Theo Johnson at 151, Joe Milton in the sixth round at 191, and then an offensive tackle named Jones at 225 out of Michigan. So there you go. John Calipari, $33 million buyout. That is chump change in the state of Kentucky, with a passionate fan base, the likes of which Kentucky has. They can go out and get $33 million in an afternoon. If Calipari stays at Kentucky, it's because they've decided to keep him at Kentucky, not because they couldn't raise the money, not because they have blanched at the amount of the buyout. That's not the thing, I promise you. I know people down there, and that money can be gotten like that. Louisville and Lexington, yeah, there's some areas that are not so nice, but there are areas that are real nice. And all those people got all their money. And all those people love college basketball. So don't be surprised whatever happens, but understand it's not about the level of the buyout that is going to compel Kentucky to keep Calipari or Cal to stay at Kentucky. That's the way it goes. Breakfast with Kent tomorrow morning. What a lovely day. kidding me. It's going to be a little bit chillier tomorrow. We're wearing red all week because of the IU women's team. Big win last night against Oklahoma. They got South Carolina coming next. Nah, I don't want to play against South Carolina. That's what Terry Morton's going to say. She's watching the tape. She's like, I don't know. No, she isn't. She's going to put together a game plan. Let's see what happens. Roll the ball out. You're going to have to shoot lights out. Sydney Parrish going to have to make a bunch of threes. Sarah Scalia going to have to make a bunch of threes. Yarden Garzon going to have to make a bunch of threes. Three, three, three. Shoot enough threes, you win games. We saw Oakland do that to Kentucky, didn't we? Mm-hmm.